Well, we're going to be in Romans 5 today. We're going to be going from verse 12 to maybe the second verse in chapter 6. Death came through Adam. Life came through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It is true to say that by one man's sin and death entered into the world, as life and grace entered by another. In either case, it was a consequence of one man's action, was it not? Adam was told by God, "You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die." And at that moment that he did eat of it spiritually, he did die. And his body began to decay, and he was on the road to physical death also. The first Adam fell from being in a place of grace and in fellowship with God to one of a fallen nature. He made that choice. Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. He is the federal head. Federal, there's a Greek word in Latin, and that Greek word means stem. So he is a stem from which we all came, earthly man. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The sting of death is sin, and the wages of sin is death. So we see that some people don't have a grasp of this. Just to let you know, there's some people who say, well, it wouldn't be right that we were, before we were even born, we were, you know, already condemned. But let's see what the Word of God says about it. Behold, I was, this is Psalm 51, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Estranged from the womb. In Ephesians it says, "We were by nature children or under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." It makes it perfectly clear that Adam's sin has passed to all men. And we are in a midst of doom, you could say, because of sin. We were without hope and without God. We were without strength to save ourselves. So this was where we were at. The law was given to bring us to Christ. It showed us how we needed a Savior. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. So does that mean from Adam to Moses that there wasn't sin? No, sin is always evil. And sin was always in the world from Adam to Moses. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam." In other words, we didn't do his exact sin. "Who is a type of him who was to come." He was a type of Christ to come. He was pointing to Christ. But he was the opposite of it, in reverse, you could say. He brought destruction and death, and Christ brought life and grace. Adam was the head of the earthly man. Jesus is the firstborn of the spiritual race from heaven. Why don't we just go to 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. There's contrast between what happened with Adam and what is happening with Christ. For Christ is the resurrection and the life. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but which is natural, and afterward, which is spiritual. So the natural came first. And the first man is of earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. If we receive the free gift. In this little section that we're covering, it kind of brings up gift four times. Two times it says free gift. And if we accept that gift of salvation that God has offered through His Son and His blood, we will be of that heavenly man, of that new race, that eternal life that comes by Christ Jesus. You know, infants did get sick and died in that time between Adam to Moses, did they not? They were sick and they died. So how do we know that sin was still being accounted to man? Because why? Death. Death still was reigning. But Christ became a living spirit and He restored the dead to life. He is the living water which you drink and will never thirst. He is the bread offered from heaven and living. That gives us life. He is the resurrection and the life. For since death came through a man, resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all have been made alive. So in Romans 5:15 here, by the free gift of God, which not like the trespass, because the gift of grace overwhelms the fall of man. For if many died by one man's trespass, Adam's sin, much more abundantly did God's grace and gift that comes by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the benefit of many. So by the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with Him. Praise God. For Christ's love compels us, and because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. So I know I've stressed this death, but that's what's happened. You know, death has been reigning, but there's going to be grace reigning through righteousness. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about. The grace and mercy of God, the free gift of righteousness and salvation are through Jesus Christ. Our Lord has delivered us from a great fall from grace that Adam caused. The free gift placed us in a state of justification. Grace reveals that God loves us. It shows mercy. It sets us free from wrath, death, and sin. It fills us with God's love for our neighbor. Where the law reveals sin, grace reveals Christ. It wins willing service of a free man. It opens the way to come to God's presence boldly in Christ. Grace makes perfect. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This grace was all given freely. knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Gift. So we see that grace is the power of God in action by the gospel. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Grace is, it was that made us holy through his Son, was grace. It is that foundation, that way that we come in. His Son is the most precious gift of grace, is it not? Grace can put to death all lust of the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if through the Spirit do mortifying the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Grace is that good thing to come in Jesus Christ. Grace is that good thing to come. And that's what I want for you to get out of my message today, is how much more did grace overwhelm sin and death. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So he hammers on this, the gift of God. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And he has. Man just needs to accept this gift. Is he too proud to accept this free gift? Is he not wanting to yield to such a loving God? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, did it not? So he sent the law, that sin may be exceedingly sinful. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. For this reason he had to be made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people.
Amen.
He wasn't going to be like angels. He had to be like Adam's descendants. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
So in verse 16, 17, 18, and 19, I'll read now. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so righteousness by the one gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We have an effect upon each and every person, don't we? We're not an island to ourselves. We have an effect upon other people. Adam had an effect upon us. Christ has an effect upon us. And we have things that we need to bless others with and to show life to others. Amen. We need to be a blessing and a channel for God to work through us and bring others to see the wonderful grace of God and the hope that we do have. Here's a few more thoughts of grace. Trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Gives us richly all things to enjoy. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, here is what the first Adam left us: flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what Adam left us. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might be made exceedingly sinful. So it was a blessing that God sent us a schoolmaster, was it not? To show us our need. A lot of times when we talk to a man, maybe they just need to see that they're of the need of a Savior. Yeah. To admit that, no, I am in need. But by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, death has been defeated. We have been abundantly pardoned from sin. We are adopted sons with an inheritance. We have been made kings and priests unto God. We have gained the more than what Adam lost through Christ's blood. You think of that? We have gained more than what Adam lost.
Amen.
Much more being justified by his blood. Being much more being reconciled, much more grace abounded, much more we reign. You know, Adam wasn't made a king and a priest, really, but we are. We were made sons, adopted sons. We will reign with Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. And how many more promises can you claim? How much exceedingly abundantly have we been blessed? And Adam was blessed. God has good things for his people. That as sin has reigned unto death, so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul makes quite a case for the great grace of God has bestowed upon us. Man with his fleshly desires that he hates to give up, and not being born again of the Spirit, wants to make a case that may allow him to keep on sinning. Let's read the last two verses. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness of unto the eternal life by Christ our Lord, which I just read and I read again. And then it goes on to say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. He said that we would do even greater things than him. What wonderful things that we can be laborers with God, fellow laborers with him, to bring men to see that they can be saved through Jesus Christ. For we have been planted together in his likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's the hope that lies before us. Let us see that death was brought by Adam, life was brought by Christ. And that man's excuses that, oh, we'll let grace abound, that we continue to sin, God forbid.
That's right.
We're dead to sin. Sin has been done away with. Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Your comments, corrections. I hope that you... I wanted to just emphasize some things. Yes, I read scriptures and stuff, but I did try to put an emphasis upon grace and how it was much more.
Amen.
And how grace... And this is what I see. And I was trying to think. Well, I always felt that Romans 8 was my favorite chapter, you know, really, in Romans. But Romans 5 comes awful close if it doesn't tie it. Because it talks about the abounding grace of God.
Amen.
Something that you said that I want to think about some more and meditate on this week. You said that what we've lost in Adam, we've gained so much more. Mm-hmm. If you think about Adam in the garden, walking with God in the cool of the day, and in innocence, and given all that beauty and the dominion of the world into his hands and no sin. And think about what we have now. Just to think about in what way that is so much greater.
Mm.
Because it doesn't look like it's greater if you look around. You know, death reigns in our mortal bodies. But for it to be greater, there must be something much greater, even than innocency and walking with God in the cool of the day. There must be something much greater than that going on within us and in the physical realms.
Divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say this of Adam.
Talks about he shed his love upon us. He certainly paid such a high price. This is God's greatest work, is his salvation of man. And we will see it through the ages. And, you know, in Ephesians 2, it talks about through all the ages, we will see the loving kindness of Christ and the grace of God. And, grace of God is, I always think one of my favorite ways to look at God is his mercy. It's also his divine favor, that favor that he has for us.
And this... answers the question every man may have about, can the Lord save me? Have I sinned too much? And I think many of us wonder that because we know how wretched we are and how bad our sins have been. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's plenty of grace. God even put Paul forth as an example. As the chief of sinners, that we might know that God receives those in Christ, no matter what they've done.
I appreciate how the scriptures declares the first Adam, and they declare that Christ is the last Adam. He's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that everything finishes in Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is the finality. He's the end purpose of what God has purposed in himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be no more Adams.
Right.
He's it. Mm-hmm. He's the last. He's the first and he's the last.
Yeah, that divine nature that he has given us, that's something very special. Well, thank you for your comments. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.